This is a Gao Media property in partnership with Jacob Media.
And you, my friend, are caught in the middle.
The Middle starts now. On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Here's Eitan Shander, Barrett Brooks, and Harry Mays.
All right, our second hour, and back on the network, still live on the stream, the Jacob Media YouTube channel, phillyvoice.com as well. And I heard as we came back at the start of the second hour, Harry bringing the show back, mentioning that we have another special guest, in this case, a powerhouse, joining the program to talk about a story that hijacked the NFL draft, Harry Mays.
Yes, absolutely. Steve Zabin joining us. And Zabe, currently, I mean, he's got morning shows. He was doing like three. He was almost as busy as you, Eitan.
Busier than me.
First off, radio jobs.
With bigger radio jobs. So he's automatically busier, all right? Bigger means busier.
And more money. Plus, he has a mobile studio too that he drives around in. We got to ask him about this tour, this whiskey tour he took in Kentucky last week.
Are you jealous?
I'm totally jealous. He's got a mobile studio called the Free Hugs and Candy Van, where he drives around, does shows from the van.
I lure guests in.
Yes.
Free hugs and candy.
Wait a second. It's
the kind of predator van you were warned about as a kid.
Wait, this so isn't like
interviews oh, there. Right.
Minus the shag carpet on the walls.
I was gonna say. Yeah.
And it doesn't have that Playboy bunny window in the back. Remember the bunny?
That was essential.
Yeah.
Essential.
In the front, bunny in the back. Right. Yosemite Sam mud flaps. Now we're rolling.
Yes, sir.
White bunny, black window.
Talk
that's
about
how
Aaron Rodgers, Washington football team's draft, NFC East. He's got it all covered.
All right, we'll do that coming up. Start of the second hour and overtime continue 1 o'clock, brought to you by Book It Sports. Barrett is on vacation. As you saw, he's playing golf somewhere in the Hamptons, but we'll be checking in throughout the show, I'm sure. At least this might have been it, actually. He looked a little lit that first time early in the day. So yeah. Last time this happened, when he was that lit, he checked out. But we've got a lot to talk about, starting with Aaron Rodgers, coming your way next. It's The Middle, phillyvoice.com, the Jacob Media YouTube page, and, of course, across the country on Sports Map Radio.
This is The Middle on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Eitan Shander, Barrett Brooks, and Harry Mays.
Look, to be honest, to be fair, I think that we break that fourth wall down. I know you do a ton with just talking about the business and the industry that we're in, because people that listen, P1s that they're called, all the way to those who just pop in, they're not tuning into us. They're not watching, listening, if they don't have interest in what we do beyond what we say. So to be fair to what you were just talking about, I think that there are plenty of people out there that would much or at least enjoy a detailed discussion about the industry as much as they would Aaron Rodgers.
I know. Well, the thing that's unfortunate is that SiriusXM used to be, I thought, up there in that tier one of, wow, you're national, you're on satellite, you know, and that was huge for my career when I was on Fox Sports Radio, and it was also carried on Sirius XM. That's huge. But it's all crumbling because of the internet and podcasting, and nobody's driving anymore. And by nobody, yes, I don't mean nobody, but a lot of people ain't driving, you know?
It's a good point. It really is.
Never thought about that.
Well, think about the radio and where you're listening to something like, I don't know if people are streaming as much, right, with that. It's a good point about not being in the car nearly as, I have to force myself out a couple of days a week just to go a mile down the street to Dunkin' Donuts, and I'm listening for, you know, maybe 30 minutes in the car at most.
I know. It's actually one of the few good things about the pandemic is that, my God, driving around D.C. in the Beltway, it is unthinkably easy compared to what it was a year and a half ago. I have ventured out in the meat, Harry, of some of the typical rush hour log jams. And I'm going, what's going on here? It's 3:30. I got right onto the Beltway from 66. I'm going right over the American Legion Bridge. What the hell? Are you finding that in Philly?
Well, it's gradually coming back to normal, though. But yeah, it's still way better than it was pre-pandemic.
As somebody who lived 2 years in Columbia Heights and worked in Adams Morgan, I can't fathom. My mind won't accept what you just laid out.
I know.
It doesn't compute in my brain.
Well, then I'll take a viral video today. Yes. I will drive into the teeth of the hurricane, 4 o'clock Beltway. And I will send it to you. And I'll say, see, Eitan?
Yes.
It's real.
I love it. I love it.
Well, that's one thing that gives you a really unique perspective on what went down over the weekend is you're in the D.C. area still, yet you do radio also in Milwaukee and Wisconsin and D.C. So I thought we'd love to touch base with you today because what took over the draft and really, sort of hijacked the draft, if you will, was the Aaron Rodgers news on Thursday afternoon. And I wanted to know, how did your listenership react, and what is the situation? I heard you this morning. You kind of think maybe he might be losing a little bit of his leverage.
Well, I mean, when you're playing the Jake Kumerow card, I mean, what is that, a three of clubs? It's like, if that's going to push anyone over the edge, I don't see it. Now, I understand exactly what Rodgers would mean by it. Kumerow is an edge of the roster guy playing on a veteran, or not veteran, but just a minimum salary for the most part. And he ends up getting picked up by the Bills, and he's played a little bit, but whatever. But Rodgers praised him publicly. And then, like, the next day, they're like, he's gone. So, to me, it would have been easy to keep that guy on the margins of the roster if you were really listening to your quarterback. Mm-hmm. But that's just the way the league works. I've been yelling at the fan base in Wisconsin, hear me now, believe me later. The day Aaron Rodgers is gone, you're out in the woods. You're in the woods. You're wandering around like half the league is, looking for a quarterback, desperate. You're eating mushrooms. You're drinking cup water out of your hands from the stream. It sucks. Patriots are there now, and they hope Mac Jones is going to be any good. I don't know about that. The Saints are going to find out in a hurry what they're going to miss in Drew Brees. And it's not a pretty place to be. And so I say to the fan base, stop with this macho talk about Aaron's a diva. Or, well, he didn't play good in the NFC title games. I said, after him, it's a bad time coming. Well, we did it before with Rodgers and Favre. And I'm like, you got lucky. You didn't crack the code for how to do this, okay? The chances are, the overwhelming statistical chances are, that Jordan Love is not very good. If he's Andy Dalton, that's a win. He wasn't a top of the draft guy. He was maybe he's a first rounder. Let's go ahead and move back up a couple spots and grab him. It's not that easy. You guys know that. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at the Colts. The Colts are hobos out on the streets trying to rehab Carson Wentz. How do you guys think that's going to go, having seen Carson Wentz for the last year and a half?
Probably, I think, a little better only because he doesn't have this cloud of dysfunction and centering around him. But, yes, to your point, it's not going to be a Pro Bowl year. It's not going to be a conversation where the most improved player or anything like that, he's just going to look marginally better than he did last year just because I think there's less tension. Yeah. But, yeah, he's not going to turn into a different quarterback or revert back to 2017. That's for damn sure.
My global theory on this league, as you know, Harry, from hearing me talk and doing stuff with me, is this is a television show about quarterbacks, the NFL.
Yeah.
And they are really hard to find. And so if you got one, you better hug them and hold on to them. And I believe the profile on Rodgers at 37, he'll be 38 in December, he's going to play to 42, easy. Hmm. He doesn't get blown up because he's too smart, gets rid of the ball. He's in great shape. He's had a few injuries over his career, but nothing like Big Ben. He's not like a wounded soldier with a crutch under him the whole time. And so if he's going to be in business till 42, I'd be in that business if it was my team. I would make sure I orient everything around that. And then once he really starts running out of gas, then you can think about replacing him. But don't think about replacing him with a first rounder. That's just going to piss him off.
Right.
I mean, Gutekunst came for the king and missed. and he had an MVP season. So I can understand why he's pissed. I don't know why so many fans don't appreciate how these athletes got to this spot by being insanely hyper-competitive and alpha and driven. And yes, difficult to deal with. They're not here by accident. So,
hey, real quick, I'm just curious, in your opinion, based on everything that's played out so far, what's the easiest, simplest Occam's razor theory to appease Aaron Rodgers? How do you make this go away tomorrow?
Well, new contract with more money, which they don't really have right now, but I'm not an accountant. I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express once. I'm sure they could figure it out. So more money. Money, more importantly, guys, that cements Rodgers to the Packers. See, what he doesn't like is that their deal with him, which was at the time the record for most guaranteed money, which lasted all 5 minutes, it's now in the easy off-ramp portion of the deal. The next 2 years, there's exits very easy. And, of course, the Packers love to be in that spot. And there's some people like, well, what did we do wrong? We negotiated this deal. We were very smart about it. Because you have a unique talent. And the unique talent is not going to sit around and let you sunset him or flip him to the Panthers next year just to get on with the Jordan Love experience. He doesn't want that. So he wants money that cements him in Green Bay, and he wants them to listen to a few of his ideas, not the worst thing in the world. And I think if you trade Jordan Love, that would go a long way. Mm. Now, this report, he wanted Goody fired. I'm not sure I believe it. I also think it would be very bad for Rodgers because I believe, boys, you don't whack a civilian. You know, that's like a mob whacking a civilian. A player shouldn't be whacking a personnel guy. He screwed up, all right? He did something that was dumb. He didn't have an owner. See, this is another thing. You have a real-life owner who's a human being who knows how achieving athletes work because they're on the same sort of wavelength. A billionaire figured, okay, it's like the Kraft Brady thing. If you had that kind of owner, they would have stepped in and said, we're not doing that. We're not taking a first-round quarterback because – that is the relationship most owners have with their star quarterbacks. They don't have that in Green Bay. Now, 9 out of 10 days of the week, that's a great thing to do. There's no billionaire asshat running your team, sometimes into the ground. Hmm. Washington.
Yeah. And, well, I mean, speaking
so
of.
They got hurt by that. So I was saying to trade Jordan Love as soon as the season ended. I said, okay, Rodgers proved his point. He's the MVP. He looks great. He's not going to slow down anytime soon. What are you going to do, carry Jordan Love for 4 years and take zeros and not play him? Well, you know, you got to be prepared. Some of the fans are so delusional. Got to be prepared for the future. What are you talking about? Come on, man.
The future is now, as George Allen said.
Right. The future is now. It's also next year. It's also at age 39, 40, and 41. I mean, Brady is expanding the envelope of what can be done. And damn, this league has gotten so soft. Quarterbacks who know how to recognize, boom, that's cover two, that's cover three slice, bang, hit their guy with accuracy, they'll throw until they're 45 or older.
Well, you brought up Washington, and you talk about wandering around in the wilderness drinking water out of cupped hands. The Washington football team is described that way. How surprised were you that they didn't do something in the first round with a quarterback?
I guess they were within shouting distance of Fields sitting at 19. They could have made that move that the Bears did. I don't know if I feel it on Fields, but my track record on quarterbacks is just as crappy as everyone else sitting behind a mic or on a couch or even in NFL offices. So I think it was a realization of we're not there yet. We don't have the clout and the capital to go get a guy who's a rookie. And I think they're still stung by the Griffin thing's bad, but the Haskins thing is bad as well. So it doesn't surprise me. It does say that Snyder is not in that, you know, building, not in the war room at least. So that's a positive step. The only thing that's interesting is, can you really build a team with all the necessary parts and then plop a quarterback that makes it go at the end? I don't know if you can, because if you're half decent, you're never drafting high enough, and you can't buy a quarterback that's worth a damn on the open market.
Yeah.
You know, you overpay for a Hyundai Sonata in Kirk Cousins, like the Vikings.
First car I ever had when I lived down in Center City, Philadelphia, was a Sonata. And I had nothing in that. I didn't even have automatic windows on that thing, man. And it got broken into.
Good car, reliable.
Yeah.
Not a chick magnet, though.
No. You had to really work to get that going.
That's why, I had to get a Weimaraner or a gold chain that's like 6 inches thick or something.
I started with a Ford Fiesta. I had to hone my game early, Dave.
That's right.
Fiesta.
Yes.
It's like working in radio for free for a couple of years. That's it. Right. You're just out for the reps, Harry.
The Ford Fiesta is one click above the Walter White green junk wagon of despair.
Yes.
Right. To me, that car was the star of the show, the unsung hero of the show, because the Foley artists made sure every time you parked it somewhere, the doors had to creak. Uh-huh. It sounded like it was just rusted metal, and it underscored the fact that here's this brilliant chemist who's driving a piece of you-know-what.
Right. Amazing. All right, hold that. Zabe's in the house with us. We're going to take a quick one on the network, live on the Jacob Media YouTube page, Philly Voice, and Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to The Middle on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Eitan Shander, Barrett Brooks, and Harry Mays.
All right, we're back, and this is kind of the norm here, Zabe, is like we just keep people until they tell us they have to go. I don't know if Harry told you that.
No, I didn't.
I'm going to mow the grass today, so let's suffice to say I'm not in any hurry to leave the air conditioner.
All right. I just didn't want this to be like, come on, man, I got to get out of here. And sometimes people actually say that, like, hey, guys, got to go. Or, we get the look like, really? Yeah. How much longer do you want me here?
I try to remind my guests, look, I thank you for your time. How much time do you have so I don't drag on?
Right. Yeah, I still have that driving range outside back of your house. Didn't you have some sort of place where you'd hit balls?
It's 248 yards of yardage and a cow pasture.
So like a three wood.
Yeah, I'm getting older and stiffer. Becoming more like a full driver. I hate it.
Well, what happens if you shoot it and you fly that 245 or 248?
I'll call you when that happens.
That'll alert the media.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
That'd be one ball that he wouldn't mind losing.
Right, I'd hunt it down and put it in a glass case.
Well, look, maybe we could introduce you to the 42.5-inch shaft for the driver, right? That's been a big topic of people still want to see me hit this thing.
Yeah, you cut like 4 inches off his driver shaft.
What?
Yep. Yeah. I was. So here's the science.
You got a shorty driver.
Mm-hmm. Correct, but
short shaft.
Exactly. Huge head, as legal as it gets.
Oh, dirty.
Right?
Sounds short like a shaft. Mushroom.
Big head, right.
Yep, I got a mushroom head driver. That's a great way to put it. And let me tell you.
Who told you to do this, Bryson DeChambeau's cousin?
No, I was on YouTube one night, and it was one of these things. But here's the thing, and Harry knows because we're close, and he knows the place that I play. There are witnesses to this. I'm telling you, Steve, I have not hit the ball better off the tee for 3.5 straight rounds than I have in my life. So I don't know. I finally learned how to hit this thing.
What did you give up in distance?
Nothing. Here's the science behind it.
I don't believe it.
I'm telling you, all right?
There's science behind it.
I'll give you the science. The science is you've got a shorter lever, which by definition means you can't be getting the same club head speed. Right, Harry?
Yeah.
You can't be.
But here's the thing. The head is hitting the square of the head is hitting the ball cleaner every time.
You're hitting a sweet spot
more often.
Absolutely.
The sweet spot on the modern driver is the size of a trampoline.
Thank you.
Thank you. You were missing it before.
Well, here's the thing. The longer it is for me, right, the more likelihood that I'm pulling it in as well. So the balls off the tee for me are now going straighter as opposed to this tail that comes in when I alligator arm in off contact. So it's helped me really keep my arm straighter because the shaft is shorter and I can get a little closer to the ball. So what's happened is my drives normally have this built-in tail, and I'll lose, you know, 80 yards, whatever it may be. Now they're going straighter, so they're going farther. To your point, if I was hitting the driver well the first time and I cut the shaft down, I probably would lose some yardage. But since it's corrected some awful tactic that I use or had, technically, that's why it's going straighter.
He's
going
to be putting together an infomercial. You'll see it on a cable channel soon near you.
No,
for
he
his
won't.
42-inch driver.
Save would be turning the channel instantly.
I believe, Harry, that TaylorMade actually came out with essentially a shorty driver like what Harry or like what Eitan has cooked up in his garage. It was a smaller head. It was a driver loft, and it was a couple inches shorter. They sold it. I forget what they called it as. I'm trying to look it up right now.
No kidding.
But it, yeah, but it was not successful.
Oh.
I'll text Getter, my ex-TaylorMade rep, and he'll know.
Well, you know, Eitan has been known to play with illegal golf balls.
Absolutely.
And all kinds of these crazy wedges. He's one of those guys that buys those things advertised
Wait
on the
second.
Golf channel at like 11:30 at night.
Be fair,
well,
though. I am a reformed. I am a reformed person.
I'm calling my guy. We're
okay.
Calling
the rep
right now.
Because I don't have any of those clubs in the bag. All right?
My producer and longtime former intern.
This is great.
Great radio. It's dial tone radio. It's killing me.
Well, we're on a stream, too, so we can talk through it. But all of those clubs are out of my bag. I just want that known out here, okay? I don't
the
have
illegal
those
clubs are out?
They're legal. They're just late-night infomercial clubs.
Oh,
so
okay.
The 69-degree legal wedge is out of my bag, okay? That stuff is out of here.
The 69-degree. I knew a guy that had one that was 68, I want to say, or might have been 70.
Yes.
Joke was you swing hard enough, it'll flip the cap off your head as the ball goes straight up.
Right. That's hilarious.
Oh,
unbelievable, man. Unbelievable.
All right. How much of your time was dialed in on the Milwaukee Brewers-Phillies game last night? More than mine, which was about 4 minutes.
I was out at an engagement, but it was good for the Brewers to get Yelich and Kane back off the injury list. They've got off to a good start without those two guys. Hold on a second. Here's your answer. Okay. Getter, you're live on the air with Harry Mays. What was that shorty driver TaylorMade made for a while?
The mini driver.
The mini. Look it up, Harry.
The Not the interest mini driver.
What was the specs on it?
Probably about a 285cc head, 43.5-inch shaft, came at 12, 14, and 16 degrees of loft.
Do they still make it?
Hold on, I'm going to grab mine.
Can you get one for Eitan Shander? Because he went to the garage and mutilated his regular driver 4 inches short, swears it's longer or as long as his regular driver.
So it's 42 inches. That's shorter than a 3-wood.
Yeah, I know. He's unaware that they already make a thing called the free one.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
There was two iterations with him. There's it came out as mini driver, and then there's the slider mini.
Oh, the slider mini. And then they said no one's buying this thing, and they cut it out, right?
I literally had a guy one time bought all three lofts, 12, 14, and 16.
Wow.
One fitting. If you didn't get employee of the month for that, that must have gone around the company. Oh, my God. This guy, Getter, in Wisconsin, sold the whole set in one fitting.
To one guy.
One guy.
That's amazing.
So where can you get one now? eBay?
Global Golf.
All right. Okay. There you go, Eitan.
There you go. Now he's got it in his hand. There it is, Zabe.
Look at what you got there. He's got an old Cobra.
It's a Cobra.
It's a baffler. It's a 9.5-degree head. So here's the thing. The Cobra baffler is the largest legal club head that you can have and play. So what I did is I took that head and I have a regular driver shaft. It's the shaft that comes with the club. It's the actual baffler shaft. I just cut it down to 42 inches.
You butt cut it, right? You didn't tip it.
Correct. Well, I had the professionals do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
All right. Wow. All right. There you go. Thanks,
good stuff.
It's like a Frankenstein club.
I'm telling you, man. Anything I can do to just not get an edge, but in my mind, get an edge. We're back in 3 on the network.
This is The Middle on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Here's Eitan Shander, Barrett Brooks, and Harry Mays.
You know, you make a good point as we wind down the Shaft talk, although I'm sure the discussion won't go away by any means. But I have the lure here of a pretty decent place to play golf, as Harry can attest to. And still, that's not enough to overcome having to go out and play with me. And I recognize, at least I recognize that. So,
what's the club?
It's a fantastic place to play golf, Huntington Valley.
Zabe. Huntington Valley.
It's, I married into it. Harry. Okay,
top shelf.
Trust me, my family, my wife, her family, they're lifelong golfers. Her sister played at Mount. Like they're really good. So I married into this. I never walked. Harry, tell you, I don't know what the hell I'm doing, but it's fun. I love it. But I still can't overcome that. Like, it's still, oh, wait, I got to go play with a guy with a 42-inch driver, like all these other clubs. Uh-huh. I'd rather go to Ben Franklin.
Your Mongoloid driver. I need to see that place. Looks sweet. Yeah.
You need to see it.
Let's do it. Whenever you back up.
I had like a Caddyshack day at Huntington Valley. You know, it was like a company outing. So they let us nothings in for one day.
Look, I tell you, we're going to have the whole show there, and whenever we're going to time it, where Zabe's up here as well. And I'll have the GoPros out there. We'll have the whole course to ourselves. We'll film everything because Harry knows we can't do anything without streaming it.
No, Zabe gets up to this area, and we've played golf. I've had Zabe out at my place, and he brings along his camera setup, too.
Oh, look at this.
He takes pictures. He's got a tripod that he throws in the golf cart, and he'll get it out, and he'll set up the camera like he's at a wedding. And it's unbelievable. And then he takes photos. It's unbelievable.
I've got a pole with a spear on the end, a nail, big 8-inch nail. Bam! Just put it in the ground. Camera sits on top. Take it out. Throw in the bag. It's beautiful.
That's amazing.
Wow. There's too much Shaft talk going on. I just came on, and I'm telling you, there's too much Shaft talk.
I know. Oh. Hey, John, I want some Eagles intel, for God's sake. I need to get some value out of this time today, so I need to know what the hell's going on with the Eagles.
Good question. I don't think any of us ever do. Howie Roseman was on, you know, one of the local radio stations today, ruining my show, by the way.
Right.
At that particular time, talking about the third round kerfuffle with Tom Donahoe. So I thought that was interesting.
I mean, tell me that's not gold. Did you guys not go crazy over that?
Of course. Like, wow. I think it was overblown, but of course
everything
it's gold.
Is. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that people argue, but Tom Donahoe's been a GM in this league for a long time. He's been a two-time GM, and he's been around forever. He's got to know better. I mean, when that red light's on, just pretend, and then after start yelling at each other. That's what you got to do.
Good times. So I guess I need to know, how is Howie Roseman such a survivor up there?
Well, you know, Zabe, I think you can go to any city in this country, and if you take the sexy skill position player, you're going to be popular.
Yeah.
So Howie was popular for about 22 hours when he took Devontae Smith, and then when he went back to his normal way of doing business over the final 2 days, taking five defensive linemen, essentially, five offensive and defensive linemen, people liked it less.
Yeah,
it happens everywhere, but it doesn't mean that they're bad picks.
But he has survived and stuck around multiple regimes, and now he's back up to a point where the Tom Donahoes of the world are like, this guy's still around? What's the deal?
Yeah, well, I mean, very few GMs. I can't think of another GM has gotten to hire as many coaches as Howie Roseman.
Yeah. Not even Sam Hinkie.
Yeah. And, man, by the way, he's already set himself up for 2022 with the three first-round picks, potentially. So he's already in Jeffrey Lurie's ear saying it's not about 2021. Mm-hmm. Right. It's about 2022. So he's good until at least 2023. I'll say that right now.
Wait, so there's three picks, three first-rounders already lined up, or you say one could float to a third?
Well, one can float to a third. If Carson Wentz plays 75% of the snaps, they get a first-round pick. So if he's healthy, they're getting a first-round pick.
Spending that one just yet, Harry?
No, not yet. I mean, I think there's another facet of that deal. See, 70%, but they make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So 70 plus the playoffs?
Yes.
70 plus. No,
or 75 and no playoffs.
Or 75 and no playoffs, yeah.
It could happen. It could happen. So,
well, the Colts don't have a left tackle. That's my only concern. But there are guys out there, because if you're hurt, you know, even if they're 4-12, Carson's going to play 75% of the snaps. He's not getting benched. They don't have anybody else. So –
what if he plays as bad as he did last year for you guys?
Yeah. Well,
that guy might look at that trade and say, okay, he's at, you know, let's shut him down so we keep that first round pick. I guess that could happen. But if he's healthy, he's going to play 75% of the snaps. They're not going to win four games. They have too much talent. So, you know, it's pretty good chance the Eagles are going to get that third first round pick.
So it's all about Hurts. If Hurts could play a bit, look like a QB1, you might have something going. If that doesn't happen, not going to be a good year.
Which I don't particularly understand, because Justin Fields was sitting there. Mm-hmm. So unless you wiped him off your board from the epilepsy thing, from a medical standpoint, which is possible.
Yeah.
I have no idea why you don't take him at 10 overall. I have no idea. He's got such a higher ceiling than Jalen Hurts. It's nothing against Devontae Smith, but I would have taken.
You know, I wonder what it would take for a team who routinely undervalues and ignores a position to start paying attention to that position. If Micah Parsons, yes, if Micah wins Defensive Rookie of the Year on the
board. For your
arch
rival.
Yes. Yep. Do you think that Howie and Jeffrey Lurie even acknowledge that? Or are they so wrapped up in their own world, in their own universe, that it's almost like they got lucky?
Yeah. They don't value that position.
And they never will?
It'll be.
Ever?
No. No. But you know, in a lot of ways, Eitan, that's just the way the game is going.
Yeah.
First of all,
the glory days of the linebacker.
But I don't need Mike Singletary, guys, right? If I have one linebacker on the field, and I recognize that, you're lucky to have two on the field right now. But if I have one, wouldn't I want that guy to be dominant?
Yeah, I would want Devin White.
Look at what
White,
Tampa Bay had.
Yeah, I would want Devin White. I mean, yeah. I think he was spectacular in the run to the Super Bowl. But think about it this way, guys. Eitan, you just said if Micah Parsons wins Defensive Player of the Year.
Rookie.
Can't win Defensive Rookie of the Year. He can't. What? Everything's against linebackers. How is he going to win Defensive Rookie of the Year? Somebody's going to get 8, 9, 10 sacks, and they're going to be Rookie of the Year.
Right.
Or maybe they get 5, 6 interceptions at defensive back. Everything's against linebackers. The position's devalued, so it's not going to happen.
Well, wasn't Leonard up in discussion, right?
Yeah.
He won it in 2018.
Good point.
Yeah.
Look, John, I hate arguing with you. You're too nice of a guy for us to go back and forth like
that.
No, but if Parsons did find a way to win something like that, Howie would come out and spin it that, you know, it's not always about talent, it's about fit. Yep. You know, like one of those things.
Yeah. Well, I had our buddy, Matt Lombardo on this morning on Birds 365, and, you know, he kind of said, and I agree with him, because you see these trades in the division.
Yep.
The Eagles don't care about what's going on with Micah Parsons. They're concerned about getting Devontae Smith. But, yeah, you're right, Harry. Long term, the fan base is going to look at it and say, if Parsons turns into a superstar, we could have had him. We gave him to the Cowboys. We gave him an extra third-round pick. Vice versa. If Devontae Smith goes off against the Cowboys all the time, Jerry Jones is going to get killed. Hmm. Bottom line is both organizations don't care. You can't think about that kind of stuff.
Well, the Eagles wouldn't have had him because if they knew that they told Dallas they were drafting offense, if they wouldn't have made the trade with him, Dallas would have just taken him at 10.
Well, yeah, but they get the extra third-round pick, so it'll look bad. If it turns out that Parsons is a star – it'll look bad for the Eagles. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying.
Yep.
They had no interest in him whatsoever.
John, I agree, and I think that's a big part of it, where the Eagles, we almost assume that they're paying attention to stuff that they're clearly not. But I do, as we have the four of us on here, and I'm sure it's something that's come up individually, I know collectively at least for three of the four of us, but Aaron Rodgers hosting Jeopardy, is this even a reality right now? And again, the reason why I say this is because I was surprised the ratings hit such a spike, and I don't know how sustainable that spike is, but I don't know. He wouldn't be my go-to guy hosting the show, and I wonder if there's any leverage that really exists with this.
No, I don't think so. He gave him a sugar high, but it faded. The second week numbers were actually lower, and the novelty will wear off, and truthfully, he wasn't that good.
Thank you.
You're a Packer fan. You're like, oh, wasn't it wonderful? Soft tone, low energy.
Yeah.
And nothing dynamic to it. So I don't think he's going to get the job. I think in theory he could have got the job. But as in terms of real leverage, I don't think there's anything to that.
No, I think Aaron's leverage is he will walk away. Jeopardy or not, he will walk. He will Carson Palmer to that team. He will say, you know what? I'm not playing for you.
Yeah, he'll fake retire.
Yeah, exactly.
And then make the Packers sit there, deal with the fallout, hope that Jordan Love doesn't go 1-6 out of the gate, and then try to desperately figure out, okay, who can we trade him to that won't kill us like Favre? It's a dumb situation to be in, but they got in that situation because they thought they were being too cute by half. Now
would that be the most
by a great quarterback. We'll take him in Washington.
Fantastic. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You guys take him in Philly?
Yeah.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. Would that be the most famous fake retirement of all time across the board? I mean, you had Barry, but he never really came back, right? So that's a real retirement.
That's a real retirement.
Yeah.
Unless you get into boxing where everybody
came. Yeah. What else are we missing? Like, who retired? What about that idiot Jets fan? Didn't he retire and then came back?
What, Fireman Ed?
Yeah. Fireman Ed. And they let him back like it was nothing.
Why did he retire again?
Because the team sucked. That's why.
He had a falling out with the organization.
Yeah. And he was, you know what? He was sick and tired of playing that role every single weekend to get his ass kicked inside out.
The best story, and this was not a retirement, but it was Ragnar, the guy who rode the motorcycle.
Oh, the Viking guy,
And he demanded like a 4,000% raise per game. And the Vikings are like, yeah, no. We can swing a dead cat in a bar up here in Minnesota and find
a guy with a beard. Yeah.
What did you see?
Know how to ride a motorcycle and wear horns? You're out.
Did you see that the Suns gorilla mascot has signed the first ever team mascot athletic endorsement deal?
Wow.
No.
Yes. He's inked a deal with Phoenix Streetwear Boutique Guest List for clothing, sneakers, and clothing.
Okay, is he the original gorilla?
I'm not sure, but I'm amazed that it wasn't like the – I mean, the Philly Fanatic is like on the Mount Rushmore.
He's
you can't sell anything athletic.
Now, I'm going to say this is going to kill me. The San Diego Chicken is the
game. Well, yeah, that's right, true. John.
Right, that's true. Ed Cunulis, San Diego Chicken, 1. Philly Fanatic, 2.
Right.
And probably the Phoenix Suns Gorilla, 3. I mean, dunking off a trampoline in a gorilla suit.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's an actual skill set right there.
That's pretty cool. But the San Diego Chicken wasn't the mascot. It was a radio station mascot, actually. Yeah. It wasn't like the San Diego Padres endorsed deal.
Hold on a second. We have to break here real quick on the network. I have questions about this gorilla endorsement as well. It's the middle.